The Kemmick Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.
Hello and welcome back to the Kenwick Cricket Club podcast. Back for another week. Stephen, how are you?
Matthew, I'm feeling fatigued after quite a big weekend. But I'm pretty happy to see you. How are you?
Very, very well. Massive weekend of cricket, Saturday and Sunday. Sunday with the one-day finals. Saturday was just the regular season matches. One-day S had a really good win because the opposition forfeited.
Yeah, get that up, you East Freo.
So, couldn't abuse Jack Mills this time.
Yeah, take that.
We do have a very special guest today. I'm excited. The fans have been calling for it for a long time now. Looking forward to hopefully going through his stats a bit later because I want him to guess them, as we did last week.
Absolutely. And you know what, with this show, if the fans want it, they get it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, obviously, the name game that will happen a bit later on. I look forward to going through that one with this man as well. Welcome, Chris Chadwick.
Thanks for having me on, boys. Pleasure to be here.
Very exciting. Have you listened to many episodes as yet?
I can safely say I'm up to date, actually. I've listened to every single one.
Have you been looking at your stats, trying to...
No, I purposely avoided that for the disappointment and for the challenge today.
Oh, I don't believe that at all. Not for a fucking second.
Now, first of all, should we go through a few of the Saturday games before we get into the...
Yeah, let's talk regular season.
The bigger topics. We'll start off with sixth grade.
What, the Sunday games aren't the bigger topic?
They are.
Saturday games are the lesser topic today, yeah. Surely.
We're starting with the Saturday games, yeah. And we'll get into the Sunday games very shortly.
Just got to build it up to get to that crescendo.
Now, you weren't a part of the Saturday games because you had apparently better things to do.
Yep. No comment.
The sixth graders on Saturday, they took on Kwinana.
A lowly Kwinana.
Yeah, needing to... probably win just to secure that home final.
Definitely.
Didn't do it easy. Kwinana setting 146. Going in without Sheehan and Rav, who played one day Bs.
See, you say they didn't do it easy, but if we look at the scorecard, on the surface, we did it four down, 15 overs to go.
Yeah, look, in the end they did do it easy, but I reckon after the first innings you would have seen 146 and gone, oh, that's not...
The boys getting their money's worth, fellas.
Well, look, if I'm Kwinana... And I'm thankful I'm not. Kenwick took it easy.
Yeah, they did.
Rested some of the big dogs, and they still got bitten.
Richard Pinto with one for, Abby one for, Damon one for, Nimesh one for, Devon three for, and Angat three for. So managing to bowl out for 146. Some runs scored from Abby Menon was 43, Vet 21, Big Kimbo Slice just a nice one not out.
25 from Imesh.
And Imesh, 25. So they managed to win that, and that locked up a home final for him the next week, which also gets some points on the two-day ladder for him.
Yeah, just good all-round contributions there. Also, shout-out to Kwinana for 40 extras in the space of 25 overs. That's some good stuff.
That's yucky.
It's a long day.
Now, jumping to fourth grade, you played in that game on the weekend, Stephen, the second week against Riverton. Run us through how that all unfolded.
Well, we sort of, it was hot, and we thought, you know, let's try and wrap this up as quick as we can. Unfortunately, the game was, initially, it was a bit like, you know, if you've, a little bit of pain and you take Nurofen for an extended period of time, you just get a bit blocked up, you know? you're not having a lot of movement at the station. Well, it was a bit like that early on, but once that movement happened at the station, it was all hands on deck.
It was free-flowing, you'd say.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yep. So, 120, you bowled him out for. The most interesting thing I wanted to ask you about is, obviously, we know Connor Breed couldn't play this week. He was away, so Noah came down and fielded. And then all of a sudden, apparently, at the tea break, Connor Breed just strolls in the army uniform.
Yeah, I mean, look. I hate fielding more than anyone else, so I've got to tell you, I really, really respect what he's done. He's just avoided basically all fielding whatsoever. Yeah, on a stinking hot day, so, like, props to Connor. Well done.
Missed his chance to bowl, though.
Is it true he rocked up, though, at the tee break when you need to, we can say, lads, I'm ready to bowl?
more or less. But the big thing was shout out to Noah because, gee, he did a job.
Fielded well.
Did a great job, I think. Absolutely. Can you imagine fielding? You know, it's 40 degrees. You only got 10 blokes.
His second time fielding in the top side. Yep. He did it once last year.
That's a sign of things to come.
I hope so.
Keep him around.
He'll be playing in the S this week, allegedly, against Perth Tamil. So he's their big leg spin option.
He's going to spin a web.
Yeah, that's the hope. Tyler Seguert, 3-17.
Yeah, so look, it being hot, Colby persisted up front while the ball was new with the seamers. And, you know, weren't getting a hell of a lot of reward. So after a few overs, just went down to him and said, brother, it's time.
Yeah.
Just give it to Archie. Give it to Till.
Do you wish you had Chatty?
He would have rolled. He would have got a roll, I would have thought.
Riverton were just lucky that Kent was resting his hamstrings Sunday.
Josh Hansen did say to me, I was feeling it short cover, and he said, mate, you're not bowling. I just said, oh, more of a Sunday bowler, mate.
Think you've got things to do tomorrow, champ.
Got things to do tomorrow.
Jumping over to the one-day S. Two forfeits that weekend in the one-day S. Cardinia Lakes getting a win over Perth Tamil, who forfeited, and Kenwick defeating East Frio, who forfeited. So a good win for Kenwick. Named a pretty interesting side there. We named Mitch Cox, James August, Dave Blackburn making his return. I did message Blackie. I said, oh, congratulations on your return to cricket this weekend. He was like...
Just padding out the stats. Yeah.
He said, what the fuck? And then he realised it was a forfeit.
Does that help you guys on the ladder or what?
Helps East Frio. The Fs, yes. If they can win this week against Tamil, who they did beat earlier in the year, and results
Tamil
go their way...
by a long way, so they're a good chance.
They wouldn't be too far behind four.
Currently two games out.
Yeah, you just never know, do you? You just never know.
Never know.
The rest of that S side that were named there included Colin Smith, Liam Gardner, Braden Lubke, who is now played an F grade game, Jake Collingwood, the Oldhams, and Sarav Randev. Jumping in.
Gee, that would have been a real handy side.
Yeah, real handy indeed.
Do you reckon East Frio read that team list and then forfeited?
Yep. They didn't. We didn't put it into Saturday morning. So I assume what's happened there is they've basically just, East Frio, they had a lot of those AFL guys, and I think they just want to win that T20 final now. They probably just don't give a fuck.
They had to go back to their lists.
Obviously, but then even the guys that were playing with them, I don't think, were playing for each
full-time heroes, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Gutless.
Yeah. Exactly.
Once a coat, always a coat. And I've always said that.
Now, we can jump into the two big games from the weekend, the ones that really mattered. Oh, we didn't do the Bees. I guess we got
to Let's have a chat about the Bees, because that Riverton side in the one-day Bees, as I said to you, was better than the fourth-grade Riverton side that we played against.
You did say that. I didn't think they were that special. We just weren't very good.
Well, let's have a look at it.
Yeah, we had a good team.
We did. We did have a good team. We batted first, made a real good 108. Fortunately, me and Dave put on some runs at the end to get to 108. We were 9 for 77.
Oof.
So it was looking rather
9 for 77
bad.
And 28 of your 108 weren't off the stick.
Yeah.
Tough day.
I think there were two overs left. Yeah, two overs left after the last ball out over. I really wanted, I said to Dave, I said, we've just got to bat to 35. It'll really piss them off. Because we had a fair bit of momentum because they were getting quite annoyed, the fact that we were still batting.
As you would.
So 108, especially on that ground, I thought, maybe. Sheehan unfortunately bowled his first over. Gee, short shit, Sheehan, I'm sorry. Just bowled a few half trackers. Got whacked.
Do you think the... sort of the weight of expectation on him. He's like, well, I play sixth grade. I'm a big dog now. Mm. I'm better than this one-day Bees business. And then he got there and went, you know what, maybe I'm not.
Well, I took him off after one over because I'm like, we've got 108 to defend. And then Tomo said, you know what, I'm going to wind back the clock.
Matty, can you explain Sean Collingwood batting 10?
Because he didn't rock up till 2:30.
That's no surprise.
That's early.
Yeah, it's just, it's very frustrating. Would have been handy to have him go in a bit earlier. John starts begging him to go in before him. He's sitting there. She goes, nah, here you go.
And I heard Narducci wore a Riverton jumper for a short period.
Whilst central umpire.
Yes.
Yeah, please explain.
Gave Rav out, caught behind. We wrote down caught behind. Rav came and go, oh, was it caught behind? I thought I was out LB.
I like the blokes in form either, so.
Yeah. was on 12.
First 100.
He goes, oh, caught behind. Oh, I definitely didn't hit it. He laughed, and then he doesn't get angry. He's very calm.
And gee, that's the sign of a good, well-developed, like well-rounded individual.
Oh yeah, what
if,
a bloke.
If that's me, I'm coming off every time, and I'm still angry about it. I'm telling you about it seven weeks later.
So Tomo came on, absolutely clutched up, 2 for 12 off his six. That was about 2 for 5 before he bowled that six over of his first spell. So he was up and about. Dave Bentley, he was phenomenal, 2 for 27, bowled really well, made that 19, also took 2 catches, did a job. John Saffiotti, 7 overs, none for 2. Should have definitely had a wicket as we had some bloke caught behind. And
5 maidens.
Tomo was pretty angry, called the bloke an absolute cheat and told him he'd wrap a bat around his head if he didn't.
Must have been out then, because yeah. Tomo's a pretty honest man.
Yeah.
Not that we condone any violence at this club.
Of course not. And, yeah, we had our chances. Unfortunately, they just got over the line. I like playing with John Saffy. He really makes you believe you can win from any situation.
Well, the man is...
With him in your team, you probably can.
Yeah. The man is God.
So we had a crack. We're certainly better than that. It was disappointing. I'd back us in to beat them this week. We play them again. So.
Gee, I tell you, I hope you... If you're not going... Well, I don't want to be negative Nelly here, but if you're not going to beat him with that team, you're not going to have a better team this week.
I beg to differ. I think we're going to have a pretty strong team this week.
Do you?
Yeah.
Squad playing?
Fourth grade's missing a few. Yeah.
I know. It's a lack of people wanting to play 2 days, which is hurting us. Hopefully we get a side up everywhere.
Mm. Maybe we should just pick people and tell them that's where they're playing.
Well, if you want to tell them that, you go ahead, mate.
I did.
Well, go and tell them.
I tried. It didn't work.
Well,
here we are.
What do you want me to do?
Do more.
I can't.
Anyway, moving on.
Righto, mate. All right, so on to the Sunday game. You can go through it, Kemp.
The Sunday game?
Yeah.
For the one-day Bs?
Sup?
Come on, mate.
For the fourth grade?
Still talking about the one-day Bs.
That's it.
No, that's not it.
We finished.
Hey. Jack's got a stumping off you. I want to hear about that.
He missed it and he stumped him. It was a slow ball and he came down advanced and he stumped him. He missed the stumping off the guy who made the runs.
Daniel.
But, yeah, Jax did okay.
Would you give him a pass mark with the gloves?
Yeah. He kept all right.
Well enough for you to take him back if he was available this week?
He is available this week.
Is he?
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Now that he's driving, he's not so tired from standing on his scooter from Success or wherever he lives all the way to Kenwick. So he's primed and ready.
Yeah.
So Jack's into fourth grade?
If he could
that's
play
why, two, that's what you're telling me.
If he could play 2 weeks, he probably would be.
Yeah, if Shapes, Till and Kemp all did hamstrings, then it'd be half a chance of getting into fourth grade as a keeper.
What's Zach Hale up to?
Took some 2 very good catches. Really good catches. One that skied to mid on was swirling in the air and took it. It was quite a hard catch, and then he took one on the boundary as well. Did the job.
It's going to be a good little cricketer.
He is. Very handy.
Well, as you alluded to previously, the sixth grade grand final on the Sunday. Boy, oh boy, wowee, controversy.
Drama.
They did their best to butcher it, the sixth grade boys.
Yeah, look, let's do a bit of an autopsy on this game. Let's go through it first before we get to the controversy. So, Phoenix win the toss. They decide, you know, it's a hot day. We're going to have a stick. And they get to 9 for 157. Some, you know, notable scores from Rogerson, 41.
Decent score in a grand final. Decent score.
Well, the thing there as well, they were 5 for 142 with about 10 overs to go. And then Angat came on and just did a job with 3 for 13.
He said, you know what, boys? That's enough.
Jump on.
I've had enough.
Apparently only 1 catch taken. I don't know if that's correct.
No,
that's wrong.
Heaps of catches here. I just don't think it's been entered into my cricket correctly.
Disappointing. They went into that batting innings and were absolutely cruising Kenwick. They were sitting at 3 for 117, 4 for 126, 5 for 126, 6 for 149, 7 for 149, 8 for 150, 9 for 154.
This is some real Kenwick shit if you've ever seen it.
Yeah,
on shuffle.
They then proceed to hit the winning runs, ran off celebrating, and then they check the book and go, oh, you're actually run behind.
See now,
wasn't there an iPad there though?
Yeah, apparently that's not the rule. Apparently you go off the book, allegedly. Because manual mathematics works easier.
And the iPad's far more complex than the book. So
I'll tell you what, you show me the SMCA bylaw that says that we have to go off the books. Because from where I'm sitting, if there's two people, more than likely from different clubs, if they can't come to the same score, that's a you problem. Not a me problem.
Also, obviously, I think we should be awarded the win anyway, but I found it strange that there were still tovers to go. They could have literally just walked back out there and bowled the next ball.
Hey, if the umpire pulls the stumps out of the ground and walks off, she's done.
It's over, baby.
And then they're pulling in Paul Spearing, who played in the opposition. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, look.
He is the SMCA president, I guess, but...
I wasn't there, but from what I understand, he was sort of inserting himself into the... The conversation with the captains and the umpires, is that correct?
I'm not too sure. I wasn't.
You'd hope he'd be fairly diplomatic being the SMCA president.
Yeah.
Generally the sort of guy he is. So I would have, yeah, from what I heard, if he did insert himself into the conversation, I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
Took a good hour for them to come to that conclusion as well.
Yeah, it did take a little bit of time. Yeah. But they did get the win, which was the important thing.
We're all sitting there going, you know, yeehaw, grandma, you know, beers. And then, what happened to the boys? Like, did they win? Did they not win?
Yeah, took where's a while. Murray?
You know, who knows?
We're walking out the middle and Jake called me and goes, oh, they're not sure now. they're going through the books. And, yeah, strange.
All is well that ends well.
Very true.
Now, jumping to fourth grade, Chatty, you played in that game. How did it all unfold?
I did. We won the toss, did we or not?
Did.
I know we batted first.
Did.
And we discussed it during the week and said we needed to not get bogged down early like we did in the one day late last year. And much to Benny Howard and Till's credit, they set us up beautifully by going out there aggressively and taking up to the Willerton bowlers and through two very, very good catches, both got out playing aggressively and, that set us up, myself and Shapes, up to have a little partnership there and build some momentum for us. So, yeah, we were in a good spot. Unfortunate run out caused another Kelmick shuffle.
Was it your fault or Shapes' fault?
We'll go 50-50, but probably more me. We'll blame the... too many beers the day before at my brother's Bucks party. A very hot day and probably saying, not saying no. I could have said no, could have backed up, could have been less hot and less hungover. So I'll cop that. And I did say to Shapes after that when he got out, don't worry, we'll post 160, we'll win the game and we'll have a beer and laugh about it after. And we pretty much did that.
Good call.
Tell you what, gutsy call. I was sitting in the change room chucking my pads on when he said that to him. I'm just thinking, fuck, you put a lot of faith in me, you champion. Anyway, no, it was very good. Very good call.
So, we ended up posting, 150?
152.
152?
Yeah.
I felt like that was enough.
Yeah. It's a good score. They struggled to chase that 136 late last year. But already 2 for 80. We're probably a bit disappointed not to get more than that. A little middle order collapse probably put us under a bit of pressure, and for a while there we were very happy with 150 when at 2 for 80 we would have been unhappy with it, I would have thought.
Yeah, 2 for 80 and then we were 5 for 97.
Mm.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I had a smile on my face updating that scoreboard every over.
At the start.
Yeah, then it changed real quick.
The bowling innings, you guys got off to a fly, had them 3 for 8, and I thought, gee, that's a long way back. That's
back. Strange approach to chasing in a grand final, to send blokes out to play pretty stupid shots when they're supposed, some of them were second graders and, just thought they walked out there and were big fish, but Colby very quickly put them back in their pond.
We then had them 4 for 60 and then 6 for 67 and he again thought, this game's probably done, but to Willerton's credit, they did certainly keep coming.
Yeah.
They didn't go away.
The sort of guys who, are always going to fight, a bit like a Coburn, but actually good blokes, they sort of actually fight you all the way through to the end.
Yeah, only 20 runs short in the end. And when Colby got hit for 13 off that over before he got the wicket, I was going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
A little bit.
And I could see you were going to be worried. You're going, update the scoreboard.
Yeah, I'm like, mate, come on. Someone's got to update that board.
And but fortunately, I think literally the next ball, Chook got the wicket, and that was game. I didn't know it was the last wicket. I actually thought there was one more to come.
There's also some conjecture where the umpires are telling us there was 38 gone and 39 gone, but the scoreboard wasn't over behind. And we're thinking, well, the guys on the iPad and book will know the correct over. The umpires went ahead, so they've got six more balls than they probably think they do, or the umpires think they do, and what they were telling us. So that's what actually made it nervous when they got on that run. I'm thinking, hang on, they've got enough balls to do this.
Yeah, how long do we actually have to defend this for?
Yeah.
So
didn't matter in the end.
Did Colby bowl out, or did he have another over at that point?
No, I think he only bowled six, didn't he?
Yeah. No, he bowled seven. Oh, seven. So you guys have eight.
He had one left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you probably would have just. There was two overs left after Sean's, or one?
One. One. I think.
So, yeah. Okay. So it would have been bowled out by Colby.
Yeah.
In the end, job done. Two flags. Pretty happy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely ecstatic. Yeah. Gee whiz. I tell you what. So it was a big day.
Yeah. I've heard some big stories for Sunday night / Monday morning.
/ Monday afternoon / Tuesday night.
Yeah.
/ Wednesday morning.
Who was best on in the celebration department? I left about 10:30 Sunday, so Phil Zinkemi.
I'd say Raj was up there real early.
Yeah, he was.
Jimbo.
And Gad.
Ticking a lot of boxes.
Yeah. Benny Howard was in good touch.
Yeah, DJ Howard, yeah, he would have been up there.
He was in real good touch. Just makes you laugh.
I tell you, Chook was in great form.
Yeah.
I thought.
Chook was in, I would say, even better touch last night.
Really?
So we ended up at Metro's to just keep partying.
Wearing their medals, might I add.
Yeah. Also got some photos with the flag, because got the flag from Dave.
You took that to
Metro's? No, we didn't take it into Metro's.
I was going to say.
No, there was talk about it, and I said, I'm making the executive decision that flag's not going into Metro's.
It would not come out.
At any given time in Fremantle, like in Metro's, there's like seven Kamadas, like three Koyoses running around the place.
Yeah, I met some Cardinia players. They said, oh, show us the Brindley video. They knew about it for some reason. For those who don't know, Mitch Brindley did a shout-out for Chook's birthday. But, yeah, we got there. We were going for a while. They had their medals on, obviously. Ian's with us too. Turned outside. There was one of those, like, dunking machines that you get dunked into water and if you hit the target. So Chook gets in there.
As you do.
In his underwear, takes all his clothes off.
Of course.
Sits there.
Still wearing his medal, though?
Yeah. So he made sure to take all his clothes off, took his medal off, told me to hold it, took his clothes off, said, now give me the medal, put it back on, goes in the water. There was one point where we knew he was dancing, the medal fell off. The thing, and he freaked out, and like he's trying to get it. There was also a point where like a female took his medal and put it on, and it wasn't like Chook was like, "Oh, cool, there's a girl." He's like, "Give me my medal back."
Do you know how hard I had to fucking work for that?
Give it back, oi, stop! And it kicked on. Then I remember Ian decided he was leaving. Chook wasn't very happy about that, so we walked out, me, Colby, and Chook, and then Chook goes, I want to go back in. I'm like, okay, we'll go back in. 3 hours later, we were done about 3 a.m.
Oh, to be young again.
Then we went home, and that was it. But, yeah, pretty good night.
Real scallywag stuff. Yeah. Real scallywag stuff. I've got to say, the Kenwicka Instagram page has really captured a lot of interesting material.
Yeah, I sent those to Shiart. I didn't know he was going to put them on the Instagram. I was like, gee, you're straight to it.
Yeah, look.
Interesting.
Shut down next week.
Yeah.
Not something not a lot of things I would have necessarily posted, but
yeah.
I'll tell you what, accurate depictions of the evening.
Very accurate. I had my genius going, well, that was interesting.
Yeah. Why is he trying to bowl Ian?
That was probably the most tamest of the videos. Probably the one we could post. I think I posted that one on our Kenwick one. Well, that's a good one.
Why is Chook bowling to Ben?
Hey, when you win one, you've got to celebrate it. When you win two, you've definitely got to celebrate it. Yeah.
I tell you what, the most pleasing thing for me, take the two flags, just put it to the side. We got a lot of Western Draft out of the fridge this week.
Oh, fuck. I mentioned that.
I tell you what, if you want to talk about wins, tick.
I mentioned it.
And it wasn't cleaning the drains either.
I mentioned it to Jacob Lansmere at work, and he's like, yeah, we can't get rid of him either.
Yeah.
So they're really going to make some money this season with their deal with the SMCA, and then no one's going to want them from this point on, and they're going to go bankrupt. So they won't be.
Or they'll take the criticism and they'll improve their beer.
Gee, you'd hope so. Oh, fuck.
Gee.
And we'll take two free cartons again next year if it's improved.
You never know. Now, we do have a few visceral minutes that we recorded.
Unless that's copyrighted, in which case they're visceral moments.
Yeah, visceral moments that we recorded
we got four of them actually. So I'm just going to go through and play a few, and then we'll I guess we'll just sit back and listen, and then we'll comment on each one.
Maybe just get some thoughts and feelings.
Okay, I'll play the first one.
You for the podcast,
Dave. Lacoste just won two flags, brother. How do you feel? You're live on the podcast.
Oh, mate, it's just absolutely fantastic. What a great day in the office to have 2 one-day flags in the same day. I can't believe it. It's just absolutely incredible.
Would you describe it as undulating pride?
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so proud of the boys. I'm so proud of the captain. So proud of the players. You know, both have put an absolutely brilliant display, some fantastic efforts of batting, bowling, fielding, some great catches. I'm just so proud of the boys.
And what was your highlight of the day?
Oh, it's got to be Rev's 71 run haul, mate. It was a fantastic innings from the big man, and to get man of the match as well for our 6 great boys. And Colby's 3 wickets, vital early in the innings, I think sealed the deal early for the Kenwick Royals.
Thanks for coming on, Dave. Much
no worries. Thanks,
brother. Oi, you captained the flag today. Now, run me through it. What structural plans and tactics did you enforce to make sure that we got the win today?
This game, I was basically aiming with anger than they were with the bowling attack.
Yeah.
So I knew Phoenix with Kali with the highest run score in the tournament. We need to get that man out. So
Was it a run out?
Direct hit on the batting end, and he made it. So that changed the game for us. Yeah. And Angi, Pinto, Devin, they bowled so well in the first few overs. That changed. I think that was the changing point where the run rate was really low.
Yeah.
And then Ravindu Gunaratna, the man with the second highest run scorer.
So given how important the run out was, after a controversial opinion here, do you think Vep was robbed of man of the match?
We gave it to him. Rav gave it to him.
Rav gave it at the end of the game.
Really?
The medal is worn by Vep at the moment.
Fuck, you got that's why Rav's a good fucking bloke.
Yeah. So I think that Vep has to be the man of the match, because scoring a 50, first 50 in the season, and getting wickets, getting the run out, being active on the field, that was one big important all-round player.
So. Now, what was it like when you basically guys celebrated the win and then like, wait, you might have lost?
That was a bit of tension there.
Were you about to lose it?
Yeah. Oh. So they wanted to call it for a tie, but then no. So I was like, no, thanks. Dave was there. So
was there nearly a point where you guys had to go back out on the field? Or
there was a point where we had to go back in the field. So luckily, the iPad matched with the score. We scored. So end of the game, we won.
It was 2 wins.
That was the end of the Vemesh.
Oh, you cut me short there.
No, I don't care.
Cool, man.
Lovely background music there. Yeah, boys are pumping.
Tell you what, it was a real nice quiet evening.
So when Amesh says they're going to call a tie, well, we win then because we should tie.
Finish on top.
They were not. Surely they were not talking about, we'll just call a shared. Surely there wasn't talk of that.
There's COVID around. Let's just share it, boys.
Yeah. It's MCIYs, eh, fellas?
You post it on your page. We'll post it on our page.
All right, let's hear the next one. I believe this one was with Angat. Let's have a listen.
So it's our pleasure to introduce probably the most attractive man at the Kenwick Cricket Club. Angad, tell us about the day from your perspective.
Bowling, we did pretty well. We contained them at the start, we didn't get the wickets. But we got the run outs, we got fucking some well-fielded efforts in the team. We brought it back, 150 was definitely chaseable. Rav batted well, and then the old 6th grade collapse happened. And we were left with 1 wicket and 4 runs. The boys fucking pulled it off. That's pretty much how you summarise the day. Shout out to Vep. First 50, made 58, took a wicket, and ran out Chris Carley.
What a fucking time to stand up.
Mate, if there's any, that's the one.
And how do you respond to the claims that you are the most beautiful man in all of Kenwick?
I have no comments.
I have one more question. Now, because I was watching the score of my cricket, and they were like 4-for-140. Then the rumours are, Angad got the ball and went, nah, fuck this, and turned it on its head.
I'll take that one.
Nice.
I'll take that one, yeah. I did rip through a couple of stumps.
Yeah.
But the boys played well.
Oh, I love it.
As every Pakistani captain would ever say, the boys did well.
Thanks, brother.
So that was Anger. I think looking at that My Cricket, he really did turn it on when they needed to. Because I thought, there's a point I'm like, they're going to get 170-180 here. And they restricted like 10 runs in 8 overs. So phenomenal effort.
Huge. Huge.
He went, I'm the daddy here.
Yeah. Now, the next visceral moment is probably my favourite one. We're going to play it raw, and then if we have to edit it later, I will. I don't know if Chaddy's heard this one yet. This is Ben Howard.
At what time?
You might have still been. You were still there when we recorded. It was pretty early. It wasn't that late. But
I just think, let's let the record speak for itself.
All right, let's play
it. Here we go.
All right, Ben, you haven't been on the podcast before, brother, but we're getting you now. How was the win? Are you angry you weren't bold?
Listen, man, at the end of the day, it's just about winning flags. I wasn't required to bowl. That wasn't no fault of my own, but to the pure ability of our team being able to take their chances. End of the day, good win with a good bunch of fellas. And fuck Willerton.
So there was it was a crucial moment in the game. Colby was bowling well early, applying a lot of pressure. And the third wicket, a chance that you took at point, went very high. Some would say higher than the sun. How do you respond to claims that you were the only individual who would take that catch?
So I've actually always said I'm the best catcher at any club I'm at. And today I think that really showed the chat backed up the ability to take catches. Some may say it was higher than the sun, and I like to think God took it out and dropped it in my hands. But at the end of the day, yeah. Tell me who else is catching that, boys.
One more. Now, you're fielding a volleyball game. Fuck, you seemed real interested in that volleyball game. Were you keeping score? Were you trying to get updates?
It was great to watch. It was just nice to get around the astronauts, man. Like, just seeing them come out. Show passion.
Just members of the community.
Yeah, so members of the Beckenham community.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them come out and just show their passion for the game of volleyball. Yeah. I didn't get to keep score, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I was swiftly motivated to tell them that one of their kids had walked away.
Yeah, we
from the group. and then when they replied with, yeah, that's fine, I thought to myself, don't know about that one. But yeah, mate, all I can say, great win, great boys.
Thanks, brother.
Very funny, very interesting.
Yeah, that'll need an edit.
some different takes on a multicultural society.
Yeah, interesting. When he says about that kid walking away, so you saw where like me and Tomo and all that were sitting. So this kid, he would have been, I reckon, like 3 years old, and like he's just wandered off down towards the bridge, and we're like, your kids sort of run off, and they're like, oh, good. He falls off the bridge. And then Jax proceeds to go, gee, that kid has some long arms. What?
That's why they weren't worried about the water under the bridge.
Like, kid was probably just chasing the pancake special at Fika. No one told him it was closed. Close it too, mate.
I don't know what he was doing.
Just found Willerton's batting boring. I'm out of here.
And, probably. And you can't really blame him for that.
Now, we do have one more, which I recorded today. I'll play this one for you now, and we'll have a listen.
Right, well, I'm with Hayden Arducci, the prize 12th man of the grand final from Sunday. Now, we are post the four-day bender. How are you feeling?
My voice is starting to come back today, which I'm pretty stoked about personally. Obviously, there's a lot of yelling and screaming antics on the Sunday night. Made work very tough. Obviously, a lot of what I do involves a lot of speaking, and I'm a man who likes to talk a lot of things. So it's made my life tough, but as I've said about every issue I've faced in the past 4 days, worth it for a flag.
If you weren't there, do you think they win?
I think we just got to look at one big difference throughout the day. And I think a lot of people performed from both teams. But if you look at the biggest difference between any two positions on the team, I think it was the 12th man role. Obviously, their 12th man sort of lingered the boundary, roamed. You know, I barely saw him even when they got wickets or anything like that. You know, every three overs, every time we lost a wicket in the batting innings, I was sprinting on. You know, I had water bottles ready. The scorers were pretty annoyed with me because I was constantly checking how many balls left. I didn't want to waste anyone's time. And I think I definitely did a lot more buttering up of the umpires than their 12th man did. You know, I think I did go above and beyond. I will save some details, but I think if we are looking about where the game is won and lost, I think it was at the 12th man duties.
Now, final one. Who do you think was your best on, like, post-match, like in the post-match celebrations?
Well, Sean Ingram's one that comes to mind. I think he certainly outdid himself. He really lived this one up. Sean's usually the kind of man who you struggle to get for one night, let alone two, let alone three, let alone four. So, you know, Sean's to go four nights back to back to back. And to think that the bender really started the night before the flag, it goes to show just how much better we are than Willerton. That we can go out and do what we did on the Saturday night and still beat those Dogs. You know, I think maybe for the two-day flag, we'll take that one seriously. But Sean Ingram was definitely someone who I think put his name in the ring for best on post-match. And I think really just everyone as a team, you know, much like throughout the game, it was a real team performance post-match.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you back on the cricket field very soon.
I'm practicing my roughly 100 metre sprints back and forth for 2 day finals.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Gooch there, just sort of running us through
how very he honest saw it. Summary.
It was a very honest summary.
He did play a pivotal role though. He was very, very good for us out in the middle batting, bringing out regular water. Yeah. And cold water at that too.
Yep. And fielding for us as well, just always good in the field.
Yep, did a job.
Absolutely solid. And look, He's probably being too modest. He really outplayed their number 12.
Yeah, I know their 12th man through work.
Do you?
He did have a better pair of glasses than Gooch, though. Wow. Much better pair of glasses.
That's controversial.
What we'll do is we'll get in our votes very, very shortly because I'm still sort of... I thought I had mine. Now I feel like I'm not happy with them. This keeps changing my head. There's so many... challenges to go through here. I'm not sure.
We should have done a 5-4-3-2-1 for best off field.
We can just chat about that.
Do it on the fly.
Do it on the fly. If you want to go.
Your boys are experienced enough.
Oh yeah. Do you have your one vote ready by chance?
I can find that for you. Could I go through my honourable mentions? Do you feel?
First? Yeah, sure. Go through your honourable mentions, and I will as well.
You did clarify this was for Saturday and Sunday combined, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is tough for me because in an ideal world, each game would get their own vote, set of votes. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. So, Archie, just for his bowling, I think he took 5 for the weekend.
Yeah.
Just classic. So,
by Archie's standards, a shit week.
But just classic Archie stuff, though, really. Just taking care of business.
Yeah, of course.
Till overall bowled and batted really well. Agad was daddy with his bowling when it needed to be. So yeah, those are my. Oh, actually, and special shout out. I'm sorry I couldn't squeeze him in, but Chook, the winning wicket in the grand final was Chook's 100th wicket for the club.
Nice.
And
that's huge.
I'm real stoked. I was fielding it just like a short sort of cover or a real wide mid off. And as soon as he took that, I was, you know, I was a couple of metres away from him and just got to get in there and give him the hug straight away. Just
real nice spraying someone's stumps to win a game, isn't it?
Beautiful. There's pretty much no better way to win.
My honourable mentions are a few there. Tyler Suggett, one of them. Good weekend. Also Sean Ingram. Got those 2 wickets. Also a handy little 10 at the back end of the innings as well. So well done to him. Another one, oh, gee, this is harsh. Couldn't get me my votes. There's just so many. I didn't get Colby in there, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, just missed out for me.
Yeah, fuck, you wouldn't want to win fucking man of the match in a final, would you?
Sorry, Colbs. Just a couple other things that I thought over the weekend that just did it for me. Another one that I want to give a mention to, Zach Hale. Called him 10 o'clock that morning to play for the Bees. Clutched it up, got down there, took 2 really good catches, so... You know, it was 40-odd degrees. He could have just said, fuck off.
Very easily. So,
appreciate that he came down.
Up the junior hailstorm.
Yep, for sure. So, okay, who got your one vote?
My one vote for this week?
Oh, sorry, I've got one more honourable mention. John Saff. bowled beautifully, seven overs, none for two, five maidens. Did a fantastic job.
And apologise to Matty for not getting a wicket.
Yeah.
Well, that segues nicely because John Safiotti gets my one vote.
Huge.
None for two doesn't sound like impressive reading, but when one delves a bit deeper and sees it was off seven with five maidens.
That's ridiculous.
I love it when we get a wicket and we come in and John Saf wants to say something because I just feel like I'm back in like year 11, 12 footy and he's coaching me again. And it's like, if you want to talk while John Saf is speaking, you've got issues.
Yeah, if you want to learn, then you listen to John Safiotti.
My one vote, and ordinarily this performance probably gets a few more votes, but based on so many performances this week, you could only give him the one vote. Jason Thompson bowled phenomenally on the weekend. Came on straight away after Shaun's first pour over. And Tomo actually said to me before, he goes, I haven't bowled for a month. Best he's bowled all year by a mile. Bowled superbly. They just couldn't hit him. He was all over these guys. Got two wickets, which he thoroughly deserved. One LBW, one caught by David Gully. Really good catch.
Must have been plumb if opposition umpire gives it out.
Yeah, Tom was pretty up and about. I saw the old double fist pump come from him when he gave it.
I like that.
The DJ Bravo jump, yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. Tom, I got my one vote.
Nice. My two votes went to the president, David Bentley.
Good call.
Because 2 for 27 off seven is great in anyone's metric. Yeah. And then on the back of that, he got 19 top scored.
Yeah. And took two phenomenal catches, really good catches.
I sort of discount that just because that's what I expect of Dave in the field.
Oh, harsh. But true.
I hold his fielding to probably a high standard because it is of a high
best
standard.
Best on performance in that game, really, for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Best on ground.
My two votes went to Chris Chadwick. I just thought he really set up that innings nicely until he got run out. But without that 35, you're in a bit of trouble and put you guys in a position to launch in that back end. And I just think just had him ahead of Colby just for what it sort of set up. It sort of set up the game.
Well, I'll tend to agree with you. This segues nicely because Chaddy got my three votes.
Nice.
Now, the reason initially that I gave Chaddy three votes is because he went, you know what, Saturday, real hot. Brothers Bucks party. That sounds like much more fun. So you boys just go off and fuck off and field.
It was.
Against Riverton. And then I'll come back and I'll play the important stuff.
My three votes went to who you gave two votes, and that was Dave Bentley. I'm very impressed with the way he played on the weekend. Opened the bowling. Gee, just bowled good lines, good lengths. It was all over the batsman. They couldn't deal with it. Batted really well to give us a chance, putting on 31 with him together for that last wicket. Hit a nice six down the ground as well. Took two catches, and I'd go as far as to say he's a career best performance of the club.
Get him in the fours. Get him in.
A much improved cricketer. And that is the real pleasing thing, is because how much more room for growth and potential is there? Because you got to remember, this bloke came to us two or three seasons ago, maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
And hadn't played cricket for, what, a decade?
Yeah, and hadn't played more. Much cricket.
Yeah, and on the back of a couple of seasons of junior cricket. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm patting myself on the back for bringing him down to the club. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. My four votes went to Rav for his 70-odd in the grand final. Also, for his fielding in the Bees game. It's unreal, his fielding.
He's a machine, though.
The amount of balls that get hit to that boundary line. Oh, that's four. No, Rav is there. Okay, cool.
Have the one.
Yeah, legit. He was phenomenal.
Fuck, I'm a shit bloke. I completely forgot Rav.
Oh, wow. Bang. Sorry, Rav, not good enough, brother.
Rav, if it's any consolation to you, mate, if you listen to the SMCA cricket radio show, you were the player of the week last week, and you are going to get a carton of Western Draft given to you.
Please don't bring it to the club, Rav.
Clean your drains with it, brother.
Who got your four votes?
Then? My four votes went to a young man who we affectionately refer to as Cheese. Yeah, look, Well, if we start with the Saturday, generally captained pretty well. One thing I like about Cheese as a young captain, you know, he's always happy to take advice and have a listen to you, what, you know, the things you got to say. Developing nicely as a captain, was real aggressive with how he went about things, was patient when he needed to be, and then said, you know what, we'll have another hit, which is a real coat thing to do. And I respect and rate that.
When it's 45 degrees especially.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once he got out, he went, yeah, I probably should just call this, eh, boys? Probably don't need to be batting anymore, right? And then obviously grand final, takes four, sets it up for us with the ball. I was a bit disappointed with him when he was batting, the way he got himself out.
Yeah,
great. He sort of got us into a we went from a good position to a, you know, a sketchy position. But, you know, taking four for and, you know.
He'll learn from that.
Yeah. He was clutch with the ball. He set it up. But also,
with a sore back.
Yeah, with a very sore back. You know, the opening of the bowling in the Willetton innings, it's all about bowling in partnerships. One bloke just ties it up from the other end, and then the other bloke takes all the wickets. So,
you ever seen two opening bowlers so injured in the one game?
That's a good call. I remember when Colby went off with the back injury, and Dave walked around to where we're sitting and goes, oh, Colby won't come back on for the rest of the game. And I laughed at him. I said, Colby will be back on in two overs. He goes, nah, he's backstop. I'm like, he'll be back on in two overs.
I can show you how you walk there too, if you want.
two boys, one dinker rub.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I missed you in the votes, Coles. Maybe I just expect it from you now. I don't know. You played phenomenally, and you deserve to be best on ground. I don't know. I don't know how you missed it. I'm sorry.
Jingle, jingle, sore neck.
my five votes, and I would be disappointed if you didn't have the same person.
Can we say it together on the count of three?
All right. One, two, three.
Hayden Narducci.
You did not give Hayden 5 votes.
Yeah, I did.
How does Vep not get your 5 votes? How does Vep not get any votes?
Yeah, I've fucked up there, haven't I?
Oh, my God.
He's pulling your leg, Manny. Surely he's pulling your leg.
He's taking the piss. You're taking the piss. You're joking.
Yeah, obviously I gave it to Vep.
I don't reckon he is, and I reckon he's realised the error of his ways mid-conversation.
Nah, come on, mate.
Okay.
You know how much I love Vep.
Exactly, and I think the best part about it was he made 21 the day before, made 58 the next day, got a run out,
wicket
got
on the a Saturday wicket. As well? Wicket on the Saturday as well?
I think so, yeah. And I think the best part is as well, I reckon like a month ago, He wouldn't have been in their one-day team for that final, and he's worked his way into it.
Can we get him into our team for fourths next week?
You can certainly try.
Shout out, Shehan, if you're listening.
Imesh, if you're
get
listening.
Get as many blokes as you can.
But, yeah, he was phenomenal.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing I love about Vep the most is I don't want to embarrass him by saying this. He came up to me afterwards. You know, we're having a little bit of pizza, and he was getting a little bit emotional, and you could just tell how much it meant to him, and how much he loved being around the boys, and how much it meant to him, and it really struck a chord with me, and I just thought, fuck this, it reinforced in my mind that he was already a good bloke, but just in case I needed further confirmation.
Yeah, that bloke's going to be a life member someday. I can feel it already.
Fuck, that'd be nice.
I'd also add, and like Angad, he'd only be second to Angad for best looking man at the club.
Ooh, he's
a good looking rooster.
Look, I not to be too crude on the podcast, but I've heard several times over the last 4 days, Sean Ingram and Hayden Narducci, I'll eat Vep's ass. They'd said many times.
Edit that out, probably.
Wow.
Well, Vep,
you won't.
There goes the ratings, fellas.
Vep, I'm not going to edit that out, and I know you're listening.
Joe Rogan was in trouble. Now he's not.
Now, as much as we'd love to keep talking about the flag for another hour and a half, there is a little bit more to talk about.
And we could.
We definitely could. There's a man to my left that we want to talk about, and his name's Chris Chadwick. So we're going to delve into the deeper life of you, Chris.
Christopher Hilton Scott Chadwick, if that is your real name.
Is that his actual name?
Something like that.
So we're going to go through a couple of things. First of all, Chris, your stats, your career stats for the Kenwick Cricket Club. Do you know any of them? Do you know? Well, let's start off with matches.
I know there's zero hundreds.
Matches?
Fucking bang!
More than 100, but less than 150, I'd dare to say.
Okay, have a guess. Give me a number.
146 or something.
Thinks he's played more than he has. 125.
Oh, there you go.
Good
old 2-day cricket.
Oh, this is a good one. You won't like this.
You're telling me.
Highest score for the club.
You'd remember that one.
I know
you?
It. 91.
Yeah, who was that against?
It was against Riverton, I believe, at home. And I was also told the guy caught it over the boundary line. The footy boys were down at mid-on, not in a bath this time, but down at mid-on. And they reckon they were adamant. No, he was over the boundary line.
Oh, no.
So I call it 97 at home. but no, 91.
Best bowling figures?
Ooh, I think it's 5 for not that many against probably Maddington.
It was 5
for 6 or 5 for 7?
5 for 7.
Yeah, there you go.
What about career runs?
2,000 something? 2,300 maybe?
2,795.
Mm. Selling himself short.
100? I'm sorry.
Big fat zero donut.
How many?
Only the good bats make 100.
How many half centuries?
15 or 16? Be up there.
16.
There you go.
He hasn't checked out his stats.
Now, let's see. Career wickets.
More, I know it's more than 100 because I read it a while ago and Kempy does his little posts about milestones, but it was probably 2 years ago. I haven't bowled in 2 years. 110?
128.
There you go.
And then catches.
Oh, I have no clue. 25?
52.
There you go.
Do you know how many runouts you would have got?
I'm going to 5?
6.
There you go.
For how good a catcher and fielder this man is, I'm surprised that that number's not higher. Because yeah. you don't drop many. Like, you, I reckon, count on, you know, one hand, the number of catches you drop.
I could probably remember the 4 or 5, I reckon.
Yeah?
I'm happy about it.
So we're just not putting him in the best catching positions. That's what we're saying.
Now, who are you playing cricket for before Kenwick? Because it's not on my cricket. And I assume Kenwick was your first club.
Yeah, high school.
You didn't play all the way?
So all through uni I didn't play. Yeah, I played a little bit of T20 on turf up in Newman, which was managed, or the turf wicket was put in by one of the guys from the local plumbing and gardening company with predominantly clay on the footy oval, so it was terrible. I reckon we got 6 games and the wicket was stuffed, so yeah, I didn't play much. And as you'll see from the stats of my first year at Kenwick, you could tell I hadn't played in 5 or 6 years. Yeah, actually, right. A lot, and I broke my finger the training session before our year 12 cricket season started, Darlow Cup. So I never got a chance to play any first 11 cricket for Christchurch in year 12, which was disappointing.
Wow. Were you always a leg spinner?
I actually bowled medium pace through high school in year 8 and 9. I had a year off cricket at high school, went and played basketball for a year because you only play one sport per semester. And then went back and the bat clicked. And I started making runs in our year 10 team. Stayed a batsman since then.
Fair enough.
And tried to bowl leg spin at Kenwick for something else to do.
Fair enough.
Well taught by yourself, Matty, actually.
Oh, thanks, mate. I do have a few questions. First one's from Jim August. And he wants to know, why are you such a flog?
I learnt from the best, Jim.
Strange question, that one. From
such an avid listener to ask such a, you know, just a off the cuff.
Yeah, strange.
Real supportive man, eh?
He is. Dalton King wants to know, how does it feel to be the second best leg spinner at the club? I'm not sure if he's putting you behind me or Archie, because Archie's definitely number one.
I was going to say, second best is, a bit kind by Dalton there.
More a compliment?
Yeah, I'll take that. Hard to be the best at any bowling when you don't bowl for the season.
Strange that I did ask Braden Lubke if he had any questions, just didn't send any through. I was surprised.
Probably caught up with baby showers or something.
Baby christenings?
Baby christenings, yeah, that's the one.
COVID stuff.
Connor Breed asks, why do you think you haven't been given a bowl? Would have bowled Willerton out for 20 if you got a bowl?
Yeah, good question. ask Colby.
Ask Colby?
Couldn't answer that.
Okay.
And just not required, Matty.
Just not required.
Now we've got Ian, someone who can turn the ball both ways. Or turn the ball at all. Not needed.
Greg Tomasini wants to know, how does it feel that you've broken the chain of Kenwick recruits that have made hundreds? Mossy recruited me, I recruited you, and you haven't delivered.
I'm still here, though, Greg, so it's not finished yet. It's unfinished business.
Look, and what Tom is saying is correct. However, I recruited Moss, and I'm still yet to score 100. So the chain, you know.
But maybe it started with Moss. I don't know.
It's a loose chain.
Hmm.
Speaking of Gregory Tomasini.
Yeah?
I'd just like to just share some thoughts with you. He said to me when we were at Beckenham Primary School, I think just before, it was the redevelopment of Mills Park, so we were training down there. He says to me, "Oh, I've got this mate I'm going to bring down, my housemate. His name's Chris Chadwick. I reckon he'd probably have a hit with us." And I said, "Oh, is he any good?" And he goes, "Look, he's not going to score lots of runs quickly, but he's very hard to get out." Thoughts?
Definitely didn't score lots of runs quickly at Kenwick in my first year. Didn't score much runs at all, to be honest. I'd say that's a pretty fair estimation.
Fair enough. Now, Cameron Wish wants to know, if the six that Jerovic hit you for in the one-day game at Phoenix has landed yet, because that was bloody massive.
I think it's still going, personally.
Fair enough. That's all that we really had to send in.
The boys let me off lolly there. That's kind.
I did shoot out messages. Some people responded, some didn't. There is one more, but I'll throw it to you first, Stephen.
I'm amazed, Maddie, that hang on. I'm amazed that Sheep can rock up to a game an hour and a half late, knowing weeks in advance what time the game starts. Yeah, he can find out I'm coming on the podcast 2 hours before it's due to start. And can send in a ridiculous message like he did. So
the Sheep knew before I did.
Please explain.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
I've got a question for you, Christopher. Ahead. So you captained the club to a premiership in, I'm going to say, your first year as captain, the 2016-17 One Day A's flag.
Yep.
Now, during that game, you did get the best bowling figures and you did score the most runs. All that being said, what are your recollections of that One Day final? And do you still feel bad for taking the Man of the Match award off me?
What do I remember of that day? I remember they got off to an okay start with the bat. We'd banked on Braden most of the year with the new ball, like getting guys on the back foot and getting wickets early. And I don't think I think he was wicketless that game and got hit for a couple. So I can remember bringing myself on early and getting someone caught at cover by Braden, playing a pretty average shot, and then their gun bat that came out with an MRF, I forget his name.
Wackus Khan?
Yeah, that Wackus Khan.
Chili Khan.
I bowled him with a ball that turned a mile, as they all did, and then the boys are real up and about then because we knew if we got him out, he was a big wicket. But VJ made 40 or 50 that game and set them up with an okay total. I remember obviously our innings finishing with Kempy's his hat trick with the third wicket, which is still in question to this day. But I reckon he might have hit it.
You reckon he hit it?
Pretty sure he hit it. Yeah.
That's two against about nine because everyone else says to me he didn't hit it. You know, and I just like to believe he hit it.
Fuck yeah. He smashed it. I don't care. Anyone else but Shemez didn't hit it, but Shemez, he smashed it. At their batting innings finishing off with Kempy's hat trick, put them on the back foot pretty quickly. And we got off to an okay start with the bat, I remember, but lost. We did lose two. And I think I got out maybe with 10 to get. I was trying to hit a six down the ground because I knew we were home. We had plenty of wickets in the shed and plenty of time.
You thought, imagine if I bring us up with a six.
Yeah, fuck it. And got caught in the branch line like a crab. And I think then, what's his name?
Graham Manu.
No. Yeah, but what's the other guy with the wrist?
Kamal.
Kamal goes, "Chaddy, don't worry, I got this." Tried to smash out of a cover or something, got caught, and then it was Manu that finished it anyway. But probably the biggest story there was the week before, Louis Wald in the semi. And then also Tom Bryant's performance at the wind up, at the at the piss up at Burnsy's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, giving the Canning Times a call, and it was all good.
Yeah, we haven't discussed that.
I think we might have.
Not the...
sure?
Have we?
I might have briefly come up, but not in detail. Firstly, well done, Burnsy, for volunteering his house.
Oh, he'll never do that again.
And commiserations.
Yeah, but my bathroom's bigger than his backyard, so to get probably three teams worth of blokes there.
Do you remember when we...
Yeah, in Piara Waters, where you can reach over the fence and touch the neighbour's gutter.
Wasn't the best idea. Like, all sung the song, like, really, really fucking loud.
Like, I remember the neighbour behind him tipping manure along their back fence to try and stink us out. I remember some individuals getting, like, balls off the pool table and just ditching them randomly into the neighbourhood. I remember people's thongs and shirts and shoes being, like, chucked on the neighbour's roof, which was just a little, like, underarm over the fence sort of thing, thinking, like, this house is never going to be appreciated ever again. And we haven't been back since.
I recall, because I was sober, obviously, and Augie remained sober, so we were sort of just overseeing things. And
we didn't know for a good job.
Well, there was a point where Augie looked at me and he goes,
"We better go, Manny. We can't
go." He said, "Where's she?" I went, "Oh, shit." Had no idea where he was. Called him, he goes, "Manny, I don't know where I am." I'm like, "Well, what do you see?" He goes, "I see nothing." I was like, "What?" He was down the road at some park, like, and I remember he got him home over the phone, and then I took him home in an Uber.
It was probably Tom Walden's last night with the girlfriend he had at the time, because I remember him being passed out in the corner somewhere. She was not happy. Yeah, there was lots of good stories from that night, but probably the check-in with the Canning Times is probably the best.
Yeah.
How much we can elaborate on that.
When I dropped Sheep home, I remember he crawled out of the car under the grass and threw basically all the cash he had in his wallet at me. He goes, "Take it, it's all I have, I swear, I'll take it. And I was hoping the next guy goes, "Oh, I thought I got robbed in the park or something." I'm like,
Rob yourself.
We're throwing money out.
I remember Kempy having a really nice bottle of spirits as well that he must have got for his birthday or some momentous occasion that he cracked open that day, and that
30-year-old bottle of Canadian.
There you go. That's what it was. Yeah. So that probably kicked the party off as well. I do remember Jim and Tom Bryant and their crowd getting denied an Uber because they looked like they were carrying bum bags, and the Uber driver was like, no, you guys are going to rob me. So they didn't. I don't know how they got home.
I actually caught an Uber ride home with Al and Tommy Bryant. And I was sitting in the front.
Apologies. Just a bit of intro music.
Sitting in the front seat, and like I, you know, was a non-smoker for a very, very long time. Was a smoker for a long time too, but at this particular point in my life, I was a non-smoker. And that evening,
till recent times,
I tell you what, I punched a lot of lung lollies that night, and I got in the Uber, and the driver just turns and looks at me, and just like absolute disgust. Puts all of the windows down in the car, and that's how we drove from Viara Waters back to East Canada.
Wow.
Oh,
good times.
So pretty big night, what are you saying?
Yeah, and that year cost me a bit of money too, because I made a stupid bet with Matty about his bloody Swedish shirts. At the start of the year, we're doing all right, and I said, "Mate, if we win the flag, I'll buy 11 of those shirts for each of the guys that win the grand final." And so that cost you about $450 or $500. So.
Good times.
Cheers, yeah. Cheers for that shirt, Jed.
Yeah. Each guy's batting number on it on the day, so it was quite a nice touch.
Now, the other message...
Hint, Colby.
The other question I've been sent in is from someone who wanted to remain anonymous.
Here we go.
It's actually probably the best question we received, so I've saved it. This year we've had a very different top grade side to previous years. What differences have you noticed between this year's team compared to the top side of the last few years, and how much potential do you think the current side has?
I was actually thinking about this recently, because it is an interesting point you make. The last two or three years, which has been very enjoyable having the Atkinson brothers in our team, our whole kind of batting mindset was get to tee, minimal wickets down, knowing that we've got the batting order at the end that can launch, and we knew that if we did that, we were always going to post a good total. Now that that's gone, the difference is there's more onus on the top five. The top five have to make most of our runs. Having said that, there's still been some good innings from the likes of Chook coming in late. But definitely having youth challenges our consistency a little bit maybe, but it sets us up for the future. And hey, Ian's taking everything in his stride. Chook's doing his bit with bat and ball. Having shapes in our side this year has been really good. Someone with a good defensive technique who can score runs.
Yeah,
I reckon we're probably a more consistent, like an actual cricket side, rather than two guys that hold an innings and then sloggers come in and finish it. There's five or six guys now that can hold an innings if needed. So that's probably the main difference. We look like an actual cricket side.
Fair enough.
That's a great shout.
What about your impression of that question, Kent? What would you say?
Yeah, 100%. Similar? I think last, maybe a couple of episodes ago, we talked about sort of what our sort of highlights of the year had been. I was talking about the progression of that fourth grade side, because it's a young side. It's I remember being out on the ground.
And hey, you'll be the first person to say at the start of the year you thought that fourth grade side was going to struggle.
Yeah,
fair bit of youth, some names that probably didn't look that attractive in that team, but somehow the right times people have performed and we managed to. We just want a flag.
Give these boys the opportunities, and they're taking care of business. On Sunday, you know, standing out in the field, I'm next to like Al, who's 1 or 2 months older than me, and then after that, like, you're probably the next oldest bloke, Chatty.
Mm.
Maybe two.
And like, yeah, a couple of us in our 30s, and the rest are
like early 30s,
early shapes,
early
as well.
20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's real pleasing if we can keep that core group together. Yeah, who knows what we can do?
Now,
win a second.
Careful what you wish for.
Oh, for sure. Now, we'll have a few questions at the end. Now, I'm going to play a game called the Name Game, which I think you've heard of before. I've picked out a game. I'm just going to screenshot it and send it to Stephen. It's a bit of a different and funky game that I've gone with.
Here we go.
You will remember it. I'm just sending it to Stephen now. It was actually the game that you guys won outright against Perth Tamil a few years ago.
Two blokes played that game, that's all. So, no one else.
So it was a pretty comprehensive victory.
This wasn't the outright where we finished at about 2:30, was it, on the second week? It was that one?
Well, can you name this 11?
Well, there was some Muppet that took 9 that game. Pretty sure, or 10.
And who was that?
That was Braden Lupke.
Yep, that's one. Obviously yourself.
If a pace, well, medium pace bowler at best is having guys scared batting from square leg, there's something wrong with the opposition. So, yeah, there's one for you, Braden.
Yep.
Obviously I played.
Yep.
I believe Tomo played that week because we went back to his house pretty early.
Yep, 3.
Did Al Martin play that week?
He did. That's 4.
Al would have played.
This is a great start.
Shreeni would have played.
He did. 5. Oh, boy.
Jeez. I don't think Tony Wright was playing then at that time, or he was. No, I don't think he was.
Yeah. Okay.
Or was he?
I don't know.
No, I don't think Tony Wright was. Jeez, this is it's harder than I thought. Who else played that game? Who was keeping for us then? Was Till keeping back then? Jim August wasn't playing with us then, was he, as keeper? Him or Till, who am I going to go with? I'm going to guess Tyler was playing then.
Tyler was not playing.
Damn it. It's
funny how the years blend together. Till was a couple of years off.
What year was that? Like 17, 18?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so a bit longer ago than I thought. Who was keeping then? Well, Kent would have played that game.
He did.
Yeah, good. Was Kemp keeping that game?
No,
he wasn't. Which was probably a mistake of the captain.
Yeah, Tomo.
You were captain.
You were captain.
Palm that one off. Tomo, yeah, I've said Tomo. Who was keeping then? Manu was gone by then, so it wasn't Manu. I don't know who was keeping that game.
You're at 6.
You do, and you definitely know him.
You know him.
Yeah, I know him once I hear the name.
You shared a field with him.
You're at 6.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm struggling at this so much. When one guy takes all the wickets, that's all you remember. Hungry thing. I'm going to go a roughie, like someone like Connor Breed. Was he playing?
He was not.
Oh. I've said Al Martin.
You said Al Martin. He's already in your six.
Yeah. Tony Wright, I said no to. But was Tony Wright playing?
He was.
Oh, there you go. So there's seven.
Seven.
17, 18. Who am I missing? Woods having all of them were gone by then. Have I said Sherini?
You did.
Yeah, Sherini was playing. God, I can't think of the keeper now.
You could probably do ads for Colgate.
Oh, that's giving it away. Oh, if you can't get off that.
ads for Colgate?
That's gone through the keeper.
Oh. Wow.
Sorry.
Smiling assassin?
Oh, that's free money. You're not.
I'm struggling.
You're taking a piss.
Bobby.
Manu wasn't playing.
No. Do you want us to tell you the keeper was?
Yeah, go on. Tell me the keeper was.
Satish.
Oh, yeah, true. He was playing back then, wasn't he? You forget about guys that go to PR Waters.
Do you want to know the rest of the
Yeah, 11? Go on. Hit me up the rest.
The rest was Dan Jackson.
Yeah, I was
nine. Utsav, who you did mention, didn't want to go with, 10. And also Dev. Dev Singh.
Oh, yeah, true. Dev would have played.
Old Devo Singh.
There you go.
No one's ever done the 11. No one's ever
done it. When you pick a random gun, that's hard. Debut might have got it.
Do you remember your debut?
CBC.
And what do you remember of your debut?
That was a sharp reminder of cricket's not easy. I remember, funnily enough, thinking, who is this big, hungry Singh running in bowling left arm bounces at people, Vin Richards? This guy's going to kill people this year. And then having good battles with him in the nets. That's probably the one thing I remember. There was also a guy who I'm pretty sure was 11A the first week, who batted through really gritty for them, not out. I think who then couldn't bat the following week or something like that kind of happened in that game. And I dropped him at short cover. Actually, Boosie had me at short cover. I remember dropping him. But it was against CBC. And, yeah, these randoms, Joff and Cal Adam, got us home making runs. And I don't think they did much after that. So, nor did I.
Now, I have a few questions that I'd like to go into.
Okay.
You may have heard them before. Now, I'm going to start off with this one. So, let's say the two-day final comes around. Colby comes up to you. And I think I know the answer to this.
He's got two medallions around his neck already. He's chasing the third and fourth.
I think I know the answer to this already. Colby comes up and says, Chatty, I need you to play some music to pump up the boys pre-game. What song are you going with?
Look, I know what your guess is, but I'd honestly pick probably anything Jay-Z or Kanye.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, so off Jay-Z's Blueprint 3D album, something off there probably. Empire State of Mind or something like that.
That'd be my go with. Always been a big Jay-Z man.
Yeah. If I go for runs, I just have that Blueprint 3D album on repeat, and that's the running music.
Fair enough.
So there you go.
Now, if...
But you were thinking Friday night.
Yeah. I just thought you'd go with that.
Only for a Friday night.
Saturday, Sunday, what?
If you're at home and you're making a stir fry,
are
you going with rice or noodles?
Well, rice would be called fried rice. So noodles.
Wow. Strange.
A lot more substance to the noodle, I feel.
Yeah. I know you don't like me asking that question.
If you Google a stir fry, surely there'll be zero photos of a stir fry with rice. Every single stir fry would have noodles in it, surely.
Okay, let's test that out. I'm just going to set stir fry.
And if it doesn't, I need to correct that.
I think I've had a stir fry with rice before.
Yeah, so have I.
I don't know if it was good. Noodles are a lot hardier.
There's no such thing as stir-fried rice. There's stir-fried noodles and then there's noodles that you have by themselves.
Question without notice. Who does most of the cooking in the house, you or Kimbo?
No, definitely Kim. She's head chef. I'm just a kitchen bitch. Just the dishes man, mate.
There's a bit of a mix there. I think, look, there is less rice photos, you're right, but I'm going to stick with the question. I will ask it every week and you can't stop me.
Show me that. Show me the log of pictures.
It's not. They're mainly on your side.
They're fucking all noodles, mate.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're on your side, mate.
Just like the bloke asking the question. Fucking noodle.
You're not wrong.
Wait, that's fucked, mate.
The only ones that have rice have noodles with them.
No. Look at this one, brother. Where'd it go? There was a nice rice. Yeah, ricey boy.
Yeah, pad thai's a rice noodle.
Yeah, this is a joke.
Fucking shit question.
You're a shit bloke. And I will keep asking. As they grab another drink. Now,
the flags is thirsty work, they can be.
Another
thirsty.
Another question. What do you have a go-to movie that you like to just sit down and watch?
I like Coach Carter.
That's a good film.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Stephen?
I haven't.
What's that? You haven't seen Coach Carter? Oh, brother.
Mate, you ask every fucker who comes in here about fucking rice and noodles, okay? If I haven't seen a movie, how about you give me five?
Yeah, it's
enough. Just go fuck yourself.
I will.
Coach Carter. One of the all-time great films.
Can you give me a brief synopsis?
Samuel L. Jackson.
It's a good start.
Guys playing basketball.
Yeah.
It's winning, just a real good-looking girls.
Real good coaching story.
Parties.
Turns it around.
Is it Remember the Titans with basketball? Is that what you're saying?
Isn't that every sporting movie?
Love much? Remember the Titans. Good little film.
I'm not sure now. What do we go with? Do you have any questions you ask, Chris?
Well, just it's a little unprompted, without notice.
Has any of this been prompted or with notice?
Who knows? Well, Christopher, there are a lot of things I'd like to know about you. You're an interesting man. You like to keep your cards close to your chest. So,
fair to say,
your favourite Kenwick innings that you witnessed that someone else has played?
Oh,
that is a tough one. That is a tough one. I'd probably say in recent memories, for pure entertainment value, would be the Atkinson brothers destroying Maddington. I thought that was very, very entertaining, very good to watch. What else can I say? Some of Tyler's hundreds have been really good. In fact, yeah, just like technically proper cricket hundreds, not slog hundreds. They've been awesome. I've watched Tomo bat basically an innings out and make 100, which is, yeah, incredible. In hot weather too. There'll probably be... In fact, I will name two. Tony Wright's innings in a losing grand final against SJ. That was real gritty. And then Mitch Cox doing it a year later against CBC. Like, they won't go down as record numbers or nothing, but to me that's when a batsman's tested, when kind of everyone else has failed. Chips are against the... Yeah, backs are against the wall and... Yeah, those two guys in those two games, they're pretty memorable. That's proper cricket innings to me. It's proper batting innings. That's how you judge a batsman.
Gutsy.
What about you, Stephen? Do you have a favourite Kenwick innings that you've seen from someone else that you can tell us about?
Oh, gee whiz. I've seen a few good ones. Seen a few. Hard to... I tell you, this is... Look, I'm not a great fan of the bloke, but I remember my first year at the club... bloke by the name of Glenn Moore pretty much single-handedly dragged us like through the majority of the season in fourth grade. We would be regularly five for dick. He would come in, score anywhere from 50 to 100, get us up to a so defendable score, and then, you know, the bowling attack of Wiss, Hurst, Martin, Kemp, Moore, Futerick, Thompson, if required, would then just take care of business. So, probably anything with Maury, to be fair, is a good cricketer.
Not little.
But no, not a little cricketer. But seeing as how he's a coat, probably Greg Tomasini's 100 against Riverton.
Yeah.
Hitting that big old Dorothy on the last ball off Richie Marshall.
Still talked about by Riverton players too, as we found out last weekend.
Very much still in front of mind.
Fair enough.
Greg, if you're listening, feel free to move back to Perth. There's plenty of engineering jobs here.
I'll tell you what, brother. Look, if you need help, well, look, I'll house you if that helps. Like, please come back.
Got two kids. Careful what you wish for there, guys.
I have three, I think, that I can recall. One of them, I was quite young. It was like my first year at the club. This guy's not here anymore. That Joffa fella.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing a one-day D's game and this Joff fella came to fill in.
and made this massive 100. We were chasing like 220. We fell like 8 runs short, but he was hitting them into the creek on the hills too. I was like, Jesus, this is hectic. Then I also remember one day D's, Kempy would remember this because he was batting with him. we were chasing like 200 against South Bertram, and we ended up falling about 10 to 15 runs short. But I remember like Kemp and Augie put on a partnership. Kemp got out and Augie just started hitting balls everywhere, and that was crazy. But the best one was definitely last year, Ben Howard. Second last game of the season, he kept the first 35, then batted the whole 35 overs, made a ton, won us the game, sent us in the finals.
Big Ben knows what time it is.
Yeah, one of the best I've ever seen.
Wouldn't mind a bit of that back end of our season this year.
Yeah, it'd be real handy.
I remember Dean North, who you'd know well, for some reason bowled the last over, hadn't bowled that whole day, and Ben just primed himself because he's pretty tired to sort of get to that last over, and I remember he stepped all the way outside off and just absolutely hoiked him over square leg for a mammoth six. And that was pretty much all she wrote.
Wasn't much pace to use with his bowling, just quietly.
Yeah, there wasn't much. A couple of other questions. Top three blokes that you played with at the club, if you had to pick three. I know that's a real, real tough one. Gee, that's tough.
That is real harsh.
Yeah.
Murray Williams, Drew Shepherd, Michael Curnow.
I must admit, with Tomo not being in our side, I really miss playing with Tomo.
Yeah, I know that.
And I know a lot of guys will say him, but not just because of it's Tomo and, yeah, he's a great bloke, but his brain on the field is, you'd pick him in any team for that, let alone he can bat and bowl and catch. So I'd say he'd have to be number one, for those reasons. Then it's hard because he's such a standout. And then there's lots of guys, in a close second and third and from there beyond.
Fair enough. It is a tough question. On-off cricket question, because I like to get into the mind.
Hit me, matey, hit
me. Guess. Musicals, are you a fan or are you not a fan?
No.
Why not?
Because there's 24 hours in a day. Not to be wasted on musicals.
Fair enough. Any favourite quotes from movies that you really enjoy, or anything that you can say that you really remember and think of often?
No, I'm not much of a movie person, to be honest.
Interesting. Yourself?
I can't sit still on the couch for long enough.
Chaddy's more of an outdoorsy.
Yeah.
Outdoorsy fella.
Fair enough.
Go hard or go home, I don't know.
What about yourself, Servin? Send it. Any favourite quotes?
From films?
Yeah, or anything.
Look, so many.
Or some theatre?
Nah, not so much the theatre. You remember Blades of Glory? the coach, the coach of the boys.
Yeah. Says,
you know, give it up, Jimmy. Ice skating is, you know, it's a cruel bitch mother and seduce you with chocolates and wine and kick you to the side of the road like a dead raccoon. Do nice. With that what you will.
Fair enough.
You draw on that regularly, do you?
It's basically how I feel about cricket.
Now, tell me, what's your favourite food, Chris? Do you have a favourite? Is it noodles?
And why? And why is it noodles?
That's a tough question, isn't it? That's a tough question. I like a chicken palmy. Just because it's simple and easy, but so good.
To make yourself, can you make a good chicken palmy?
Or no, you don't waste time with that. When you just go to a pub and get a... cheap one. That's massive. And
is there one you can honestly say is the best chicken palmy you've ever had?
No.
No?
No, sorry.
Have you ever gone, that palmy was shit?
Well, I have, but I probably shouldn't say where I had it. Because it could cost us some coin.
Fair enough.
And there'll be some real avid listeners. But I can describe it. I won't say where it is. It was basically two frozen, like, crumb chicken patties. Basically look more like a hash brown. Just, like, heated up with the tomatoes paste sauce on top and some cheese that melted on it. So it looked like a palmy from the top, but once you cut it, you realised this is some real half-ass cricket here.
I've been had.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're talking about movie quotes, and I've actually got the audio up of one of my favourite ones.
Here we go.
And this is for all of the people at home who would love this one. And I think Steven would love this one as well. From Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
God. For me to bring his body back. I couldn't leave him. Not that.
It's all right, Harry. It's all right. He's home. You both are.
Keep everybody in their seats. A boy's just been killed.
Chaddy's loving it.
The body must be moved, Dumbledore. There are too many people. Let me through. Let me through! Let me through. That's my son!
Longest quote ever.
That's my boy!
My boy!
Yeah. That's my son! That's my boy!
I wouldn't say that's a quote. It's more just a statement.
I can't get fucked, Chadwick.
It's a passage of film. How do you respond to the information I'm about to receive, give you? Jack Mills saw that exact passage of film and laughed. He found it humorous. What does that say to you about his state of mind?
Probably a good up-and-coming leg spin bowler.
Now, I have taken Jack under my wing. He is bowling leg spin now. Going to be a good little leg spinner.
The last guy you trained doesn't bowl anymore, so what does that say?
Problems.
Have you seen the Harry Potter films?
My missus is a huge Harry Potter fan. Oh, she's got Harry Potter mugs and made us go to a dress-up 30th this year as fucking Harry Potter characters. So
I thought organised
the cape and wands and glasses. And
have you seen them?
Yeah, oh, yeah, with her multiple times.
You're a big fan?
Big fan's probably a touch of a stretch.
Not like yourself or myself,
mate. I guess I've got something to talk about with Mrs. Chadwick this time I see her.
Yeah, you happily.
I don't think there's a ring on the finger.
If you can get her down to cricket, you can chat to her about it all you like.
Fair enough. Well, I think...
Movie night at Mills.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
If it's Harry Potter, she'd probably be there.
Can Shirini organise it? Is he free?
Someone else with the popcorn, though.
Also, this weekend, the juniors are back, under-15s. They're trained tonight.
They're your boys!
Yes.
That's my son.
he knows.
He gets it.
Under-15s back at Mills 2. Under-12s back at Mills 1. So come down, maybe go to Fika, have some breakfast, then walk over and catch some cricket.
Are you a dual team coach?
No, we've actually got Dan Nancaro doing under-12s at the moment.
He's like your understudy, is he?
Not quite.
You're coaching coaches as well as your own team?
I just let him take control of that. I'm more worried about leading those 15s to a premiership. So
okay.
Sitting, it's allegedly fifth at the moment, but we have more points than the team in third. But when we have our bye next week, that should even out. The bye seems to do something for the points. So big games week against Canning Vale. We'd
more
be
points
favourites.
Than third place, but sitting fifth. How the
doesn't. Yeah, look, I don't want to be too critical of the SEMJCC.
Yeah.
They need to have a good look, good hard look at their bylaws and how they run things.
Pretty important game this week. We've got Canning Vale. We would be favourites, but so the boys don't take them for granted. Let's just get the win.
It's a funny game.
Get out of there because we've got a bye next week and the points are even up and hopefully jump into third or second, which would be very, very handy. So looking forward to that.
We're going to win the ship in the 15s. That's what you're saying. We're going to win the ship.
I really hope so. Ascot are the best team. If we can get them if we can get to the grand final and take them on, I'll back in our best team to beat.
What would you celebrate more, Matty? An under-15s flag or a fourth grade flag?
It's hard because, I mean, I'm sort of, well, I'm not playing fourth grade. I mean,
better tell the 15s don't go for 4 days, but yeah. Or end up at Metros.
Maybe I'll tell the 15s. And I won't. This is a joke to any parent that's listening. Free Western drafts for all.
But only the mids.
Only the mids.
Oh, the parents can have the free Western drafts.
Oh, yeah.
If they want to get around the young fellas.
For sure.
I reckon actually next time you have the footy boys in their bathtub, take them over there. those boys will put that away.
They'll find a way.
They'll probably even pay for it.
That's true. Look. If the 15s win, I'll be very, very, very excited. It's been a long road. I'd be very happy.
I must say I did enjoy the footy crowd's encouragement on the weekend.
I gave it to Martini.
Oh, to Tarzan. Jeez, I'll give it to him.
Gee whiz.
But he got one up early, didn't he, with that catch?
I remember I was batting late in that grand final, and he misfielded one.
Oh, yeah.
Martini. And the footy boys were just feeding it.
That guy took the catch, turned and give the, and I went, oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah, I don't know who done that to, mate.
And then Lansmere starts yelling out to him, you wait till you boys see him bat. You'll be catching him.
Yeah.
Oh,
you'll be catching God. Him. And then he comes out and second ball skies one. Ben gets in his rocket, flies to the sun, takes the catch, comes back down to earth.
God placed it in his hand.
I was at
mid-wicket for that, and I looked over and saw Tom absolutely screaming and yelling. Yeah. With the tats out, the shirt off, basically just falling off the ground from where he was, just continuing it. I just held abuse until the guy got into the change rooms, basically.
You reckon Tarzan was a bit worried?
Oh, Tarzan was scared. Yeah.
My memory is that Tom got right to the boundary line from where he was and was just given the old...
Absolute.
See ya, brother.
Yeah, see ya.
See ya, bubba.
See ya, Tarzan. Lovely. Very need good. That. I've done it a few times, those boys. I've done it at... A couple of Maddington grand finals, particularly the one at Sutherland's Gay Street.
Oh, yeah.
They fed it to, what's his name?
Sledgy.
Yeah, oh. Stephen Ledger.
Now at Forest, though.
Yeah, a little bit of a cry and got in the car with his mum. They're good value for that, those boys.
Mm.
Very, 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 much so. Very, very appreciated.
Maddington got an absolute licking that day.
They've had a couple of lickings, Maddington, by us, haven't they?
They have. Have you ever lost to Maddington out of interest, Chris?
No, I don't actually think I have.
I think you played in one.
I did. It was the one.
Oh, it was the game you played Murray in.
No, it was the game. No, I think we won.
Kerno umpired.
The guy that Kerno umpired when Gave Kempy out plum.
No, you definitely lost the one you played.
Fucking
Actually, yeah, maybe Murray that game
you
we lost.
You definitely
as well.
Lost that because I remember Reece Clark was the last wicket and cracked it.
It's because I dropped the couch. That's why I cover off Murray's bowling. That's what cost us that game.
You're the idiot that bowled Murray.
Hey?
You bowled Murray.
He would have had a wicket if Al could catch.
I was in Jero that weekend for a Bucks party.
Nice.
Well, that's why Murray
that's
played.
That's why Murray was playing. That's why we so really, so it's my better. Fault, and I'm sorry.
It was an improvement for us.
But one thing we can say is that we've never lost a game against Maddington that matters.
That's true.
Yeah. Fair to say.
Yeah. They've certainly not been close one-day finals.
Mm. We grabbed the Bulls by the horn.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we're pretty much done. So hopefully now what will happen is fourth grade will go on to win a two-day flag, sixth grade will go on to win a two-day flag. B's and S don't lose another game for the rest of the season, scrape into the finals, win their semi, win the final, and all grades win it, and 15s go on.
Just some Stephen Bradbury shit.
Yeah.
Why not?
Dead a dream.
Why not?
It's not impossible.
Do you know what Delta Goodrum taught us? And she has taught us.
I was born to try.
And you were born to try.
Chris.
Wow.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Any final words for your adoring public?
I'll just say, is Joe Rogan, look out. You two are coming.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Real nice setup here. Thanks, very professionally done. Real danger for Joe Rogan. Real danger.
Thanks, brother. We just keep doing what we're doing. We'll keep on keeping on.
See you next week.
The Chemic Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.